Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction? We're getting near the end of this conference. We have one more interview left in these moments in time where we're grasping and holding on to these great conversations in these couple days to put these together in our different Fireside Chat podcasts here at the AEC Integration Summit. And I get to bring on one of the OGs of podcasting, where we've been, Jeff Sample and I have been exchanging podcasts leading up to this with Nathan Wood. And I'm so honored to have Jeff Bone come in, who was one of the OGs of the Contech crew. And when I was teeing it all up, you were the first name that they said, we got to make sure we get this interview. So it's an honor to have you here. And what we're going to be, the main message is about improving RFIs and efficiencies and insight through the common data exchange is the overarching. But in this one, it's about teaching it forward, which is the name of their vertical, and we're going to talk through that around digitization. And I want to tee this up by, I talked about it briefly on the last podcast of last night, we were having as much fun as possible after a pickleball tournament, which, dudes, my fab, our team won the pickleball tournament, and we were at the rooftop bar, and Charlie, who's going to bring us home on the podcast series here this afternoon, said, hey, you got to come swimming with me in the morning at this place. And about that time, Josh walked up, and we're like, Josh, you got to come swimming with us. And this morning, and there's a few others that you could tell, and Josh is like, I'm 1,000%, I'll be there. And you were there.
I keep my word, brother. I keep my word.
And so I'm going to have you kind of share that story in the lead-in, which is a little add-on bonus before we get into the speed round. But how did we start our day today, Josh, and what is your role and what do you do in the art of construction industry?
So I started my day with my alarm going off at 5:40 a.m. after a very late night, somewhere maybe 4 hours of sleep. It was one of those, where am I? Why did my alarm just go off this early? Oh, man, what did I commit to? Let's go. So I was come downstairs. Not necessarily ready to go. Got a little bit of support from both of you guys and went out to the springs, man, where it was 68 degrees. Got in, took my breath, swam around a little bit, got the blood pumping. Had a chance to stand up and talk to you and Charlie in 68 degree weather at 6 a.m. in the morning. It was a pretty great way for me to start my day.
Yeah, so Barton Springs, if you come to Austin, Texas, you got to put it on there. Even if you're having too much fun the night before.
It's free up until 8 a.m.
6 a.m. to 8 a.m., free parking, free access. And it was like this magical pre-interview where we were swimming and we all stopped after Charlie did this big swan dive off the diving board. And it was just kind of one of those mornings that you're like, I just met these guys and we're going to do podcasts today. But it was like that and we were like, man, I wish we could do the podcast here.
The technology is the only thing holding us back.
So I want to make sure we lead in with that of like, okay, so we're
that conversation just natural.
I say fireside chat, usually sitting around the fire, but in this case, we're hanging around the pool with these two really cool guys this morning, and we're running
Austin,
between the raindrops.
Skyline in the backdrop.
Yeah, so Josh Bone, what is your favorite beverage?
You know, I'm always going to go to a beer, and it depends. You know, I'm a lot of times just a light beer guy in the summer, but if you give me a choice, you're always going to see me go hazy. Just give me the local hazy,
nice.
Put it on the list.
I love
my bourbons, I love some others, but hazy's the way to go for me.
Cool. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
You know, I will have to say, and I guess it's close. I just went to Roatan, Honduras, and I would recommend that to anyone. If you've never been to Roatan, Honduras, it's an island off the coast of Honduras. It's extremely safe. Cruise ships go in and out of there, but go down, you know, really cool. It's the second largest reef in the world. So right behind the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, you literally just walk off the beach 25 yards out. You're in the most amazing reef, snorkeling, seeing parrotfish, things that I was just blown away. Perfect sunsets every night on the west side. Go to Roatan, Honduras. That's just fresh on the list, and it was amazing.
Awesome. So you're this morning I learned you're out of Atlanta, but you're going to Washington for
D.C.
your
D.C. is my office,
and,
D.C.
Going all over the place for work. But what is your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena that we passionately call the art?
So family is big, but I'll say beyond family, which is goes without saying, is college football. Georgia Bulldog football is my thing. I love college football. I can talk about it all day, every day, listen to a lot of podcasts on the subject, but it's my favorite thing to do outside of family, work, college football.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you get people's passions and threads. I just Hamza was my interview before this, and we were talking about the cash, and I think of college football. It's an interesting time with how it was, what are the governance? And that's a big part of these different conferences when you start understanding the cash and the governance. What are the rules of the game? And it really flows with the cash.
Absolutely. Cash drives everything.
I love college football, too, and a lot of my buddies have been talking about it. It's like, when is the SEC going to make – when are they going to say, what is the NCAA doing for us of what governance?
Yeah, I think you're going to see consolidation even more with the ACC. I think the SEC is being very cautious in how they approach it, but FSU, Clemson, Miami, Virginia Tech – UNC, some big brands in the ACC, I think you're going to look otherwise. And if it comes down to SEC and Big Ten, NCAA's on the outside looking in at that point.
So shout out to Amanda Harbinson and Denise. I was talking with them last night, and I asked Amanda, what's the one question I should ask Josh? And she goes, doesn't matter what the question is, but just be careful how many questions you ask, because he can answer it all and go all different directions. But as Charlie has been guiding us on this conference, is really start by the story, right? Yeah. So what is your story that led you to being the executive director at Electri International?
So I was very, very fortunate in college to get into 3D modeling. I had an opportunity in 3D modeling, and I really excelled at that back in the late 90s, before this term building information modeling was even a thing. And by being able to 3D model, it put me in a position where I could sit in a job trailer, keep my mouth shut, listen and learn, learn from the sprinkler fitter, learn from the architect, learn from the pipe fitters and the electricians. And I was doing modeling. I was just taking 2D plans and turning it into a 3D model and running coordination. And along the way, I mean, crazy things. You know, people coming into the job trailer say, hey, I want to see this guy here who's taking food off my kid's plate. That was brought up to me on a project in South Carolina. I'm like, no, I'm the 3D modeling guy. I'm the BIM guy. I'm not – you got me confused with somebody else. He's like, yeah. I said, no, man, I'm just trying to help us resolve problems before – Those problems are hours for me on my paycheck. You resolving those problems costs me money, and it impacts my family. It's like, yeah, I took a real hard look at that and thought about it. I come from a family that my dad, my grandfather, my great grandfather, all the men in my family were union millwrights, and I thought about that, but then I realized that's such a pitiful way to look at this. That 100%. Right now, especially, we're living in abundant times, and we've got to look at our industry so different than we've looked at it in the past. It's always been kind of, let me carve out my space. And what I've decided in my story is that I'm going to leverage technology, but I understand that technology is that connective tissue between people and process. When you have people in process, how do you communicate? How do you do these things? You want to make sure that technology, it's not there to solve problems. I try to tell contractors all the time that, oh, I'm using this software and it's not solving a problem. I said, listen, what do you want to know? Do you want to know your days outstanding on your invoice when an invoice goes out and what time you get paid? Can you answer that question? No, I can't answer that question. Well, we know from the data, 74.4 days is the average of what we're seeing through some of the initial research that we're doing. So 74.4 days, Is that good for you? No, that's not good. Technology helps you see that it's 74.4 days. Technology is how we measure this, and what do you do to incentivize and change that process? And how do I, hey, Devin, you're doing a really good job. You're right now at 40 days. Can we get it under 30? Is that possible? What do we need to do to help you and understand this? Let's keep tracking it. So it's not this technology I've learned in my career. I started with BIM. I got into, when the iPads came out, I worked with a company named Smart Use, a startup. We sold a new form in a very short period of time. I went and worked with JB Knowledge doing consulting. Great experience. That's where we started the Contact Trio, and the Contact Crew came out of that. When I went to work at Stanley Black & Decker and did construction technology at Stanley Black & Decker, came to NECA in October of 2019, ran innovation for a little while, and was pulled over to, in October of 2020, I became the executive director of Electri International, the research and development foundation for the electrical contracting industry, which I am in the best position I've ever been to work with great people and learn.
And that's where I want to jump in, because this morning or last night at the happy hour was the first time I met you in person, but that's what I think is really cool about these webs of construction and people that put themselves out there in podcasters like us. The Contact Crew and the Art of Construction both started around the same time in different webs, you know, where you hear these names because we put ourselves out there over and over, and you start putting this stuff together. And that's what I wanted you to kind of go through, because I've watched Josh and the Contact Crew, Contact Trio to the Contact Crew. And the key moment this morning, and this is a big shout out to Jeff Sample when I was talking to him yesterday about the health metrics of us, of his lifelong learners. And first time I met you is like this morning at this check-in. We swam a little bit, and you're like, I'll follow you. And we were like, we came like instant swimming buddies, and we stopped, and I was like, how are you doing? And like did that check-in.
Yeah.
And we earned that right to do that with each other. And we both kind of like had that moment of, you know, and you were like, I've never been better. So like, amen to that. So I want to, for maybe I'm one of the few that is kind of a little bit lost in the shuffle of all these organizations of niching into electrical, but these different, you said you were part of this to this. Tell the listening audience about Electri and like what it stands for, and it's part of this to make sure we're on the same page.
So NECA, N-E-C-A, is the National Electrical Contractors Association. Electri was born out of NECA. But it is a standalone 501c3 that is its own entity. And it was set up 35 years ago by a group of contractors saying that we need to look ahead. We need to look into the future. We need to see what is the future of electrical contracting. We need that entity that's out there and forward facing that can learn and share this information. As a 501c3, anybody can go to electri.org, set up a free account, and download any of our research from the past 35 years. Wow. A lot of that is still very relevant. You set up that free account.
That's where I want to challenge you again this morning when we were talking. You were like, but how many people are going to go in to read a long paper?
Yeah, amen.
There's all this. So I think that's the key thing you're doing now is like, how do you meet the people, the businesses, and the municipalities where they are? And that's where it's an honor to have you on the podcast, because people will take these deep dives, the numbers show, but yet are going to go and log in and read 35 years of papers.
That's right. We have indexed the research, so if you're looking for change order information, or if you're looking at overtime impacts on productivity, sometimes you need that to help you 100%. Support you in a claim. But you're right. How we communicate now, people are so busy, and communication is so key. You've got to be so intentional. As a foundation trying to help electrical contractors, we've got to meet them where they are. So delivering a 70-page paper on microgrids, in theory, is great. In reality, it's something that's not going to be consumed. And this is a very important topic. How do we turn that into curriculum that we can now teach and educate? Don't make a 70-page paper. Let's do a basic summary, and let's create a class that we can educate and talk. Hey, you know what? You need help in calculating something? Let's develop a tool as opposed to going into an elaborate research project. Let's show you how to create standard operating procedures. Let's show you a formula and a template to start building those, and why standard operating procedures are so important in this industry, and understand the difference of a description versus, you know, a detail. So, you know, are you prescribing?
Break it out into bite-sized pieces.
Yes,
I always say, how do you eat that elephant one bite at a time?
You've got to be able to operationalize
it. The perfect way to what Nathan and the CPC is doing is great, because it's, you're seeing these common threads, but they're getting broke out into different problems to solve. Like, what are those biggest problems? And I saw the great poster of Josh Bone of Teach It Forward, and that's kind of the vertical you've been tasked, and that's about digitizing it in a way, and that's where Art of Construction is launching the Art of Construction Master Facilitators Program. And our edgy tagline, to hopefully have someone get their attention here, is we're the MFers and not the MFers that you think of in construction.
Yeah.
And the master facilitator is the ones that will train the trainer. And that's a big, what I see in this conference. It's like everybody stepping up. This morning, they started by who would put their name in the hat to just spin a wheel and come up and tell a story.
Yeah, and transformation.
What a shout out to Nathan and Charlie and Jeff and the guys that are running this conference, that I could tell when they were doing it, they were kind of had this undertow yesterday of like, okay, we need at least five people if we're going to do a drawing and half the conference. So talk about a shout out to this conference of that many people stepping up to say, I want to be vulnerable and share my story. But then now we have to take those stories and put them into a process.
Yes.
And that's what we're trying to do with the Master Facilitators, as one of those ways to do it. And then learn from organizations like yours to take all that tribal knowledge and pull it forward. What's your take to that?
Yeah, you know, it's, and that's one of the reasons we're Teach It Forward is the, we started out with this research and we said there's a lot of industry lost knowledge. We're seeing this at all levels, that the plans from the electrical engineers are not as detailed. They don't have the information. We know their schedules compress. We know there's challenges. We know that we're working with a 26-year-old project engineer that's running MEP coordination on a job that's extremely complex. We know that we have brand new project engineers. We know that we have new foremen. The cost of inexperience and these multipliers of, you know, the inexperience from the engineer to the GC to the trade contractor and across the life of the project. We're losing right now 7,000 people in the construction industry and replacing it with only 3,000. We have got a massive labor shortage, and our numbers are constricting. So we're losing a lot of that older established talent, that industry knowledge, that knowledge, yes.
Yeah.
And have, you know, adapted along the way. And you look at the complexity of our jobs.
Digitization and technology is now at a place where it can help augment.
Absolutely.
That, right?
Absolutely. What we have to be able to do is, you know, I think we try so often, though, to shoehorn in technology, though, to these 100-year-old plus, going back to the Spear and Doctrine, contractual terms. Mm-hmm. That a RFI is not this, not all RFIs are the same. Sometimes we just need to talk and we just need to communicate. And we have technology to be able to answer questions very quickly. Why would we not put a question out there, not an RFI, and understand, is this a real problem? Is there, what's happening? If it's an RFI, let's elevate it to an RFI. But why are we wasting so much time contractually? We have the ability today with tech, put it out there. GC, you can see it. Architect, you can see it. But I just need to know, engineer, is it a 4 or a 3 inch? Is it a, you know, is it a EMT or do I really need rigid? That's something they can answer so quick. But we go through this process of running through, because we have to dot our I's and cross our T's contractually. It costs time. It costs money. An RFI, now we're saying, costs over $1,000, takes over 9 days to answer, business days to answer, and 22% of RFIs don't get answered. So you know, from a technology standpoint, we've got to further that education and that knowledge to streamline this process, because it, again, a lot of times with these younger project managers or MEP coordinators on the GC side and the architects being younger, they don't understand what we're trying to ask. So now we've just taken this simple thing. If we could have communicated directly with the engineer, that would have been a, just, we're done. That answer is done. But we've got to, oh, I need more information. I need more structure. Can you send us a picture with it? It's like, really? No. So where I think we're at right now as an industry, we've been talking about this a lot. What's happening right now is, and when I started in the industry 25 years ago, the electrical contractors, the mechanical contractors, all the subs created a schedule. They shared that schedule with the general contractor. The general contractor worked back with the design team, and we looked at the float and how do we cut out float and how do we do these things to work together. Today, we have so much work, and we're going into jobs. We have real labor issues. We don't have enough people. And instead of us looking and taking consideration, we have inexperience. We have very complex projects. All the world around us is changing massively. I saw the other day somebody said, you know, MEPs, 20 to 40% of a job. Really? These systems are getting so complex. You think a hospital's 20 to 40% MEP? No way. Right. You think a data center's 20 to 40% MEP? No way. But they're treating the jobs that around these generic formulas. And what we've got to be able to do is we've got to leverage every tool in our bag, whether that's prefab, whether that's technology. We have to digitize and we have to communicate, and we've got to spread that knowledge out. Because so much risk is out there. We're compressing our schedules. We're fighting. Oh, you say you can do it in 8 months? I can do it in 7 months.
And they just say it.
And it does. We're just saying it. There's really no evidence that shows it. And we're, you know, in so many areas, we're in a race to the bottom in this industry. We have commoditized ourselves so much, and I hope
this technology can help us make us more consultants. Where we're sitting right here is one of those highlights, right? Of like, you know, if I hope people get inspired like I am and go back and listen to these different podcasts throughout where Nathan and the Construction Progress Coalition is unpacking these, to where this morning I interviewed Hamza, and we're, as we work towards closing out, the same questions I ask everybody, it's all kind of coming down to, this is the third year Nathan's done this conference, the AEC Integration Summit. It's my first conference being here, but how you message and what words you say are really important, because the one thing that I'm going to ask you at the end of this podcast, Hamza's answer was gold. It was no RFIs. And they titled the vertical here, Whose RFI Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
And you ask the who, well, what needs to be is needs to be removed, because it's like removing the waste, cleaning up that whole thing is what we're trying to talk to. We have a long ways to go because how we're digitizing and how we're teaching it forward. Yeah. So good on you for being a leader of that and talking through that, because you talked about, a lot of people ask, who's the art of construction for? And I say it's the master facilitators are training the trainer, the ones who have grown up in the industry, but they still want, they have a lot more to give, right? I'm just like you in the gooey middle of 25 years in supply chain. How do I take that tribal knowledge and move it into changing the way we think on my day-to-day of supplying and installing windows and doors? Well, we don't make the windows and doors, but we think we're the critical part of, you couldn't do it without us. But yeah. The manufacturer says, well, we'll just sell it direct to the developer. And I've been in the dude, where's my fab vertical? And it was really this whole, got to flip it upside down and vertically integrate through the people that know how to do it, but then pass the baton to systemize and digitize these things. Is that a fair recap of, you've been involved with this kind of since the beginning?
Yeah, so I've known Nathan for a long time, and we've done these CDXs where we've done these types of somewhat design thinking workshops. The process that we're using here is so intelligent. The way that you really understand the current state, look at the symptoms, look at the root cause.
And they call them shared pains, and that's what we've been going through, to where they presented all the shared pains this morning, and now they're all going to the breakout rooms to turn those into shared gains So you leave here with something.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing we realized when we started. We brought up this as a research topic about what's the cost of inexperience. And as we started with our task force, we realized very quickly that this is a much bigger problem than us and the electrical contracting industry. So much of what we do while we're in our silos, we are so dependent upon design. We're so dependent upon the general contractor, the owner. We can't get there because we all have these shared pains that we've got to be able to discuss.
In my first podcast was Greg from Trimble, and they talked to these big companies like the who and the what, like the Trimble's of the world. They're now talking and messaging of there's no silver bullet. Like Trimble has to be able to be much more open. And this group is, I'm really seeing that, which is really exciting because that's what needs to happen.
You know, there's no way to drive change. If you look at a change management matrix, the first thing you have to communicate is why we need to change. Why? And so often we miss that. But number two is getting consensus. What's in it for me? And what we have to be able to do is have more of these types of conversations where you have all the stakeholders in the room together to understand what are our shared pains, how do we work together on this.
And what are all the stakeholders? That's what they've done a great job of getting a good different group.
Yeah, in our group we have an architect, we have an engineer, we have a GC, we have an electrical contractor. We've got a really good group, and we're picking on each other. We're giving each other a hard time. We're sharing that, hey, you do this to us all the time. This is not an outlier. This is a consistent thing we see.
But then it wasn't a construction trailer. You're taking food from my family, like you said at the beginning of this podcast. It's a, I didn't think about that.
Exactly. Oh, you know, we didn't see that. And we go back to, I mean, in our research here, as we've been talking and looking at this and digging into this topic, as you go back and use this formula of the current state and understanding the shared pains, it really does build empathy across the board. And 100%. You have to understand that the challenge that's initially faced and with the architect, an architect goes in with an owner and starts to kind of set a guideline and a schedule who has no means and methods, knows really from an engineering standpoint, they're not thinking about supply chain. You go back to supply chain and our world of electrical, see how long it takes for you to get switchgear today.
Some of my, you know, Matt McMullen, who's a lifelong learner, architect, been a mentor of mine and involved with the art of construction for a long time. And we became buddies because he was like one of the few architects that would come in and like really do window and door details. But in his defense, you can't do everything to that level. So you have to then become, you have to find trusted advisors that can handle all that stuff. But then you have to put it together in a source of truth.
And you need to get it involved as early as possible. All that knowledge, the manufacturers, the electrical contractors, the mechanical contractors, the GCs. The model today, as I look at it, we're set up to fail so often. And I don't know that the owners always understand that design, bid, build world, what that really is all about. By putting us three bids and a buy out there, just it doesn't always reflect the best price for the owner. But today we don't have the ability a lot of times to build trust. How do you build trust? It's through transparency. Technology is a part of it that allows us to be more transparent, to build trust, to show why we need to be involved earlier in this process. Because if you don't order that generator, that's a 2-meg generator, hospital, you're not commissioning this thing anytime soon. This has a 2-3 year lead time on this one piece of equipment, much less transformers, much less your gear. These are things that if you don't have that knowledge and you're proceeding and going months down the road, and now you put this job out to bid and they've created this schedule. If we ordered it today, we wouldn't be able to build our schedule. We've not even broke ground at this point. So it's... And there's so much that goes into construction. And in the design and construction phases of this, we've got to do a better job of being open to change, to share, understand each other's pain so that we can help protect each other, as opposed to a lot of times now in our industry, it's if you see a weakness, it's blood in the water. And I can benefit myself from that. Right. I think we all need to understand that if – this is a very, very risky industry. And if you're not careful, profits are hard to come by. And we've got to do a better job of managing this risk by getting all the parties involved earlier in the process to really work together, build that camaraderie, use technology to be more transparent, and hey, we're there right now, and we have an opportunity. There's so much work, and there's so much work in the foreseeable future, Devin. If we can't change this right now, how do we change it in bad times? There's no way. We've got to right now. We have a window of opportunity, and we've got to make hay while the sun is shining. And we're there right now. We've got a good run. We got a lot of opportunity, a lot of work in the pipeline. A lot of contractors out there have the best backlog they've ever had. Be careful about what contract language you're signing. Be careful signing up for a project that's going to, you know, has a bad schedule, has liquidated damages, has all these things. This is a time to change behavior.
So well said. And I'm going to hit you with something I haven't talked with you at all about and kind of share a couple stories and a couple references. And what I hear on all this, where kind of the call to action from this podcast and weaving different threads together, I want to go to show 338 titled The Contech Crew featuring Devin Tilley. So this podcast was released a couple months ago, where we recorded at my place in Breckenridge with Jeff Sample and Nathan Wood, and then we went and had as much fun as possible, like you and I did last night and this morning in this going swimming. And I referenced that because the podcast I did this morning was I referenced show 400 of the Contech Crew with Hamza. And you hear Devin keep referencing the Contech Crew. And I think I've earned the place to say I started the Art of Construction about the same time as the Contech Trio.
I've been following you for many years.
And so we've heard of each other all these time. And it's a true honor to say passion plus collaboration equals innovation.
Absolutely.
And I say that because one big thing I've learned from Jeff Sample and the Contech Crew when we were talking through this, he's like, I want to have a whole arsenal of guest co-hosts and, you know, build this thing together.
Yeah, perspectives.
And that's where Nathan with these different perspectives of 100 people. I want to put you on the spot and say you were part of the original Contech Trio, right?
Correct.
And so Josh, Jeff, and
James Benham and Rob McKinney.
So you guys started this, and now I'm kind of like I'm 50% within on the Art of Construction of just my passion to drive this collaboration to equal innovation. But I'm curious, give me a couple. Take me down memory lane of the original doing all these podcasts. What are a couple cool memories from doing podcasts or stories that you'd want to share?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, there's a few moments that really stand out. There's some times that, and when we started the podcast, we hoped that we would get 500 listens. That was our goal, to get 500 listens in the first year. We got over 2,500 listens in the first episode, and we thought, what in the world has just happened? And it gave us this opportunity to meet the Walker Lockards of the world, to, you know, so many people started connecting with us and reaching out to us, and you know, those shared pain, that empathy, that passion, it created this synergy that drew people in. And, you know, as I look back at a lot of those episodes, there's many memories, but I'll tell you, one of the very first ones, I was on vacation. We couldn't miss an episode, and it was only three of us. So we had to be on there, and Todd Wynn came on to a podcast. I'm sitting in my room while my family's out at the beach, and we're having a conversation. He goes, "Yeah, you know, we're evolving. You know, we're trying to elevate the role of BIM or the layout specialist or the reality capture. We want to become a construction technologist that the company invests and really understands that there's someone leading, not just this spot or this point solution, but there is a entire structure that reports up to, maybe even moves into that chief innovation officer role or reports to, or a chief technology officer. But when he said, we want to be a construction technologist, that was one of those moments I thought, you know, all this hard work, all these conversations, getting beat up doing BIM all of those years, trying to get, hey, why are you not out there laying out points? nobody told me I was supposed to be out there laying out points. Ah, I should just use a tape and pull, you know, pull tape and pull string. I'd be out there faster than you. Like, no, you won't. It's going to take me 2 days. But when I get out there, I'm going to lay out those points. In 2 days, you're still going to be laying out those points. Six, seven, 8 days. Exactly. But you know, you had to learn how to communicate.
100%.
One of the best thing about a
construction. Yo,
every day. Language is so important. The words that you use and how they resonate and the tone that you use is so important. And I look back at that construction technologist conversation, and it was, you know, okay, we're evolving. We're starting to get to a point where we're being seen higher up and not having to fight from behind the computer. We're actually getting out there and connecting. That's a big part of a great construction technologist has to be able to sell their vision. They have to be able to deliver. They have to be able to execute, and they've got to be able to communicate with the estimator. They've got to be able to communicate with the superintendent. They got to be able to communicate with the CEO and the value.
Which we call a master facilitator.
Hey, that's it. That's it. And that's what I saw that one. And another one, we were on a podcast one day, and DJ Phipps was on the conversation, and it was talking about taking a bite of the turd sandwich, and you hope everybody takes a bite because it's not enjoyable. So you want to make sure we share that as much as we possibly can. But we talked about the difference in what we said, what is innovation and the difference in collaboration and actually working together. And that was one of my favorite episodes that we go back to. It was just really the whole thing. It was just hitting on all these points. And there's so many takeaways from that whole podcast with DJ that, you know, you get out of that when you're like, I'm motivated. I'm ready to go. I have better language right now that I can use, and I can go out and I can help more people. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about for me is I know who I am. I'm all about purpose. If I can have my purpose and I feel like I'm making a difference every day, I'm a happy guy. And that's why I'm very happy in this role. But, I look at it and I think, you know, that's what's been a part of this whole podcasting world is we've found others out there with their purpose, and we've learned how to connect and build these relationships that help me. I wouldn't be where I'm at today in my role with Electric International had it not been for James Benham, Rob McKinney, Jeff Sample, and us starting that podcast, getting an opportunity to get in front of more people, use that platform to extend my voice, to be able to go to work at NECA. David Long, the CEO of NECA, I was sitting at home on a Thursday afternoon, and I'm working with Stanley Black & Decker at the time, and David Long, CEO of NECA, calls, "Hey, this is David Long. You know who I am?" "Yes, sir. I know who you are." He said, "What do you got going on tomorrow?" He said, "Can you pick me up at the airport at 4 o'clock? I said, "Yeah, I can. I'm actually here in Atlanta." Picked me up, got in the truck, said, "You going to come to work for me?" I said, "What am I going to do?" "I want you to run innovation." And honestly, I can't tell you, the Sean McGuire's of the world, those people, when I had that offer to run innovation for NECA, that was a lifelong dream. He asked me to write down a number. I wrote down a number. He added $10,000 to it, and he said, "When can you come to work?" And I'll tell you right now, I can't say enough good things about NECA and Electri, the contractors that I get to work for, the NECA family that really is a real thing. I'm better supported and have more support than I've ever had in my career in any role that I've ever been in. They give me so much and support me in so many ways. That team is gives me chills. I feel... Yeah, to be here, to be able to support this through Electri, to have that support from my contractors to do good things for this industry, it's where I want to be.
What an honor. Thank you for sharing those stories. And that's, I kind of selfishly wanted to hear that because I've been a fan watching it. But sometimes it's hard to get jazzed just to keep pushing to get in front of the mic because you see all the listeners, but a lot of people don't give feedback. So my call to action is I'd love to bring you guys in the master facilitators and see where Art of Construction can help break out these stories.
Absolutely.
Like I'm doing in this podcast. As we get into the final questions that we've always asked on every episode that to help people really have some consistency and take bites out of this elephant when it comes to what you guys are doing to move the industry forward, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
So here's the exciting thing, and you'd say what keeps me motivated is I have shifted really technology is always going to be at my core and at my base. But one of the things I've really put more focus on is the people and the process. Right now, I am so excited about sustainability, electrification. I've been spending a lot more of my time with the research, being able to work with the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics and learn about how the workforce is changing. And it helps expand on that knowledge, helps me relate that back to technology. I get to learn about battery, and energy storage systems. I get to learn about key performance indicators and what's actually driving the contractor's business. Where are they healthy and where are they strong? I get, I really get a holistic picture today, and it's really refined my view of technology. Where I think technology is going to take us going forward is you can't talk about technology right now and not talk about AI. I believe AI is going to be so interwoven. What I am excited about is that it's going to make data collection so much more passive. What if I could sit in the truck, my phone knows I'm in the truck, it pings something till I get a call. I'm able to do my daily log. I'm able to report time. I'm able to do just with a chat bot as I'm driving down the road in the truck, leaving the job site. It's fresh in my mind. I think so much more with computer vision and all that's happening out there around AI is going to make technology more woven into our world. Think about how much time and energy we waste on emails. I think AI is going to help us with emails. It's going to help us communicate. It's going to make that passive data collection is going to be very important because it's going to give us insights to how we run our businesses and make better decisions than just off gut where we're making it today. That digitization, coming back to that conversation, AI is going to help us get there.
Love it. And the final question we always ask, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business?
So I deal with a lot of leaders across the board, CEOs, whether it's the labor side, the contractor side. I want to challenge our industry right now. I want to challenge as many people as possible to start thinking long term, thinking about our legacy. There's a lot of people in leadership positions right now that are thinking, I just got 2, 3, 7. I can see the end. And they're leading us in all these different areas. And whether it's a CEO of electrical contractor or someone that's in a leadership position with a general contractor, it's across the board. Are you working towards leaving a legacy and making this industry better? Or are you holding us back right now at a time when we need to be changing everything? We have this window of time to take advantage of an opportunity. And I hope these leaders are not just sitting there and trying to hold on to status quo, that you are going to be an agent for change and leave a legacy. That's what we all need to be pushing towards right now. I think it's a risky business. Yeah. And our risk tolerance goes down as we make more money. So we've got to have people in these leadership positions still willing to make the tough decisions and move us forward.
What an honor. Well, Josh, thanks for leading a legacy with all of the stuff you've done for the industry and stepping up and sharing your story. Make sure you go check out the other podcasts within this Deep Dive series. So much knowledge and breaking through the ceiling. Thanks for being part of it, Josh.
Devin, it's been a pleasure to get to spend time with you and listen to your podcast. You know, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Awesome.
But listen, keep doing great stuff, and I hope we have more opportunities together to work face-to-face.
Awesome. Crush it out there, Trab.